This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
How has your last year, your last couple of years really been? Where's your head at right now?
Yeah, it really is interesting. Like, you could talk to 100 people, and you probably have, and I have as well, and so, and ask that same question and probably get 100 different answers. Isn't that interesting? You know, how it maybe we've all been affected by the same thing, but we've been affected in a multitude of different ways. You know, I look at it from the perspective, obviously, of a traveling musician who has been unable to carry out what he loves to do, which is to travel and reach people through the power of music. And yet I've seen just beautiful blessings as a result of, you know, life as you know it, coming to a screeching halt, just seeing God's faithfulness and, you know, creating other opportunities and other ways and beginning to, you know, I think God's creativity has been on display in my life over the last 2 years. Feel like he's opened my eyes to see some areas of my life that need to change. If I could point it to one specific major theme that I felt like God's been showing me through this difficult season, my tendency when crisis hits, and this has served me well, by the way, but my tendency is to go into survival mode. I think we all do, but it looks different. You know, some people curl up in a ball. Some people scream for help. So for me, it was like work mode. And so I just pretended that I didn't just hear that 100 concerts just got canceled. And I just went to work. I went to work to provide for my family. I went to work to provide for my band and my employees. I realized I'm a CEO. And so I was working and working. I wrote new songs. I began writing my next book. I launched a podcast. And this productivity was sort of blocking out the reality of the crisis from my mind. I was just staying focused. But I remember one specific moment where I just felt like overwhelmed by the amount of work that I was doing. And I was coming face to face with the reality of what a hard time in our world it really was. And I felt like God said to me, "You know, Matthew, you're doing a good job. I'm proud of you." Almost like he was patting me on the back, like, "You're a hard worker, but don't let this hard season pass without letting me do some much needed work on you." And man, I don't know, Laura, that was a turning point for me in the middle of the pandemic, in the middle of the crisis, where I realized that sometimes my numbing mechanism, you know, somebody reaches for a bottle, somebody reaches for a drug, somebody puts their head under their pillow, whatever it is. For me, it was kind of like I go to work and I don't deal with things and I don't feel with things. And when you don't deal and you don't feel, you don't heal. And I didn't mean to sound like an evangelist just there, but that's something the Lord really showed me. And so I'd love to be able to come out of this season being able to honestly say that I took a deep breath and I sat still in God's presence and I let him work on me. And I'd love to think that I could come out of this season a better version of me because of it.
That decision to work, though, while it came out of your own desire to just, you know, be getting stuff done and focus and not necessarily slow down, it was also because you felt a responsibility to provide for family, to provide for the bandmates that are part of your team. So what happened to that feeling of responsibility and the need to look after all of those people as you did start to embrace some of that slowness and focus?
Well, not only the responsibility to look after my family and my employees and my team, but I honestly felt a responsibility to continue to be a voice of hope to people who listen to my music or who have been encouraged by me on social media. And so I think that was one of the other big important things. And I began to realize, I mean, people have experienced isolation and loneliness on levels of which we've never experienced before. And so I think it was important for me to continue to work and find different ways to go into somebody's house virtually. And they might be all alone, but maybe they could hear a daily scripture from me. Maybe I could launch a podcast. And if they've got some idle time while they're waiting to go back to work, they could, you know, be filled with God's, you know, God's word and encouragement. And so I felt all those responsibilities. I think when I began to shift gears, it didn't necessarily mean less work. I think it meant kind of coming back to, first things first, right? And kind of realizing that, you know, I'm going to burn out if I keep doing all this work on my own strength. And I, you know, one of the songs that I sing every night on stage is about strength, and it's called Strong Enough. And it talks about, you know, it says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and I don't have to be strong enough. So that song is the confession that, that I need a strength greater than my own. And thank God I don't have to make it through this life on my own strength or my own intellect or my own abilities. But man, I sure try to. I don't know why. It's as if, you know, it's as if I'm, you know, running a race and, you know, someone keeps handing out a cup of water and I just keep pushing that water away. So no, I'm going to make it. Then I pass out because I'm all dehydrated, you know, when all the while someone was saying, I had water for you.
Yeah.
And now I feel like that's a lot of times what my spiritual relationship looks like. So I found that as I've continued to get back to square one and make sure that my relationship with the Lord is first and foremost, I'm not less productive. I'm actually more productive. I'm not less creative. I'm actually more creative because, you know, I'm drawing from a different well, you know.
You're also someone who is aware of the influence that you have on other people. You know that you're someone whose songs encourage those that listen to them, and that people are going to look like, or rather are going to look to artists like yourself and others to find sources of encouragement. But of course, you also need a place to find encouragement for yourself and somewhere that you can kind of draw from as you're going through this season, particularly. Where are the places and the people that you really do get that inspiration and that kind of lift from when you need it?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think anybody listening to this, if there's somebody you look up to as a spiritual leader or a voice of spiritual wisdom in your life, it will probably be safe to assume that that person with a public platform might find it challenging to have their own trusted inner circle of voices speaking in, and where, I guess I should say, what you would call a safe place. And, you know, I experienced that as a kid. My dad was a minister, but I could tell, like, as a young kid, it was like, oh, where does the minister go to be ministered to? Like, it's not like he could, you know, sit down with a churchgoer and say, well, this is what's going on at home or whatever, you know. And I think as a singer, sometimes you can feel that way as well. Not to mention the fact that the voice of the enemy, you know, Satan loves isolation. He wants to get us alone. Like, he went after Jesus when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. And you know, he went after Jesus hard. Because he thought he had Jesus isolated. You know, he didn't realize that I guess he did realize who he was dealing with. But I think about that, like the power of isolation and how it's so powerful that it can steal our own strength away. And I think for me, I've had to fight against isolation because I know, if I'm being honest, that that's my tendency. And it, maybe it's everybody's tendency to choose isolation over community. You know, I struggle to get plugged into a good church because I'm always on the road. But I would say that some of my inner circle involve, obviously, my wife of 18 years. She's my best friend. She's the one that, you know, we've got to have open and clear lanes of communication. She knows me. She sees me. She can tell what's going on in my life, and she can call me to the carpet, as we might say, better than anybody. And then I have a few trusted friends, and, you know, and my parents are actually a big part of my life. They live with me, and my dad travels with me, and he really serves as a great source of accountability in my life. So those are just a few sources that I have around me, and I'm thankful for that. And I think I can't encourage that enough to everybody out there, to make sure that you've got, you don't need 50 people. You need one, you need two, you know, and sometimes if you don't feel like you have anybody, you go sit with a counselor. You know, I think that's huge, just to have an unbiased, you know, voice of wisdom speaking into your life, or just listening, you know, and giving you a safe place. We all need a safe place. And too many times in Christianity, for whatever reason, people feel like they can't find a safe place. And that's the great irony, because Jesus is saying, come unto me, all who are weary. Like, he's saying, I've got a safe place for you. But sometimes we fail to be a safe place for other people too.
Well, that's a really good point, because in looking for a safe place, you've also got to realize that somebody else needs you to be a safe place potentially for them. So how do you think we can be better from that regard?
Yeah, that's a great question, isn't it? You know, I think some of it, you know, it's got to start with our hearts. You know, we, you know, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. And if you know that you're free indeed, and I was talking with somebody the other day on my show. She was the founder of this pretzel company called Auntie Anne's Pretzel. And I don't know if they're in Australia, but they're all over the United States. Like, in every shopping center, there's an Auntie Anne's Pretzel. And what I thought I'd be talking about pretzels on this interview, but she wound up telling me about some horrible tragedy she faced in her life and abuse. And then she went on to share just about the breakthrough in her life. And then she said, you know what, Matthew, I'm the freest person I know. And I just thought, and she, you could see it on her face that she had truly experienced freedom from the most grieving and broken moments of her life. And as a result, now she doesn't get pain from retelling her story. She's like, she's jumping at the chance to be on my podcast to talk about how, what she went through, because she wants to help somebody else find freedom. And so, you know, our ability to be a safe place for somebody else, I think, is, it only happens when we've found our safe place in the arms of Jesus, first of all, and then have, when we're flooded with gratitude for a God who never gives up on us, we're less likely to give up on other people so quick. You know, I think you need to check your heart. If you find yourself secretly kind of getting pleasure out of the fact that somebody else has a moral failure, you know, it's like when you know, like the guy in the Bible that prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, right? Yeah. And a lot of times we choose for ourselves a safe place, and we make a safe place being, well, at least I'm not as bad as that guy.
Yeah.
That's not a safe place. That's deception. Mm. That's setting ourselves up to say, I would never do that. Well, guess what? You know, we are all human. We are all broken. And if we can approach our relationships with other people, seeking to give people the same kind of freedom that we've found in Christ, you know, then we can begin to be a safe place. That's not easy though. You know, I think, but people are desperate for it. You know, people are desperate. You know, several years ago, Laura, I just gave people a safe place to share their story. Mm. You know, I said, hey, you know, I write songs. You know, why don't you tell me what I should write a song about? Tell me your story. Your story matters. Man, thousands of people share their story with me. They still do. And that's when it hit me, like, just how many people are just desperate to know, hey, my story has value. My story matters. God could use my story. And there's a safe place for me to share my story. So much of what I do with my music now is really just with that heartbeat of, like, it's kind of less about me telling my story these days and more about every song letting somebody else know that God could speak through their story too.
And it just becomes really important to be someone who listens, I think, as well. Like, that makes such a difference to people. Yeah. But this faith that you talk about and that you've anchored your life around, it's really something that, as you've mentioned, your parents had, you grew up in. What was it that made your faith really authentic and personal to you and not just something that you had inherited?
Yeah. That was a big part of my story, actually, because I think as a kid, it was kind of the family business. And I feel bad saying that, but I can say that now looking back, because it doesn't feel that way anymore. But there was a time where it was just like, oh, well, we go to church and I'm a preacher's kid and that's just what I do. It wasn't who I was. And, you know, there was a poignant moment in my life. I call it my blue couch story, because I remember sitting on a blue sofa couch that my mom had in our kind of TV basement of our house, you know. And do you have basements in Australia?
Some of us do, not all of us. They're not as common. We see them in scary American movies and think, why don't people just turn on the lights when they go down in there? They're way less scary.
That's because we don't have as many critters. as you have. I don't know if I'd be scared of an Australian basement because I see the spiders in the grocery store or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had a moment where I turned on the TV and I heard a preacher other than my dad preaching, and it was Reverend Billy Graham. And I just remember a very profound moment where my faith was becoming real to me. And it wasn't a family association. It was a legit personal moment where I thought, I think I need someone. I think I need something. I think the answers that I need in my life are not going to be found inside of me. I think they're found externally. I need to look, you know what I mean? Which is crazy because now we're living in a world that tells every, I mean, that's why there's so many people are struggling with identity, because they're looking to the wrong place. They're looking, our world is telling you, oh, all the answers you need are inside of you. How do you identify? Oh, you are whatever you look within. The answers you need lie within. Man, that's the great deception, man. You know, and the answers we need, they don't lie within us. We are prone to wander, like the old hymn says, prone to leave the God I love. And so I think that was a profound moment for me. And I love talking about what God's done in my life. And I love sharing with you like different things I'm learning along the way, but I'm also the first one to share that, like, man, I'm such a work in progress. You know what I mean? And so like, yeah. I hope whenever I share about, well, here's something that's worked for me, that still might include the caveat that, oh yeah, by the way, I woke up this morning and I had a bunch of interviews and I didn't take care of first things first. So after this interview, I'm going to go read my Bible because I forgot to this morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And learning to like soak up God's grace for every single moment that we, you know, stray or look to the wrong place for the help that we need.
Mm. And right now you've just released your new album, We Need Christmas, which is so much fun. There is a song on there called Make Way that I think just, oh, the moment I hit play, I was like, yeah, here we go. Like, this is the party that you want to bring people for Christmas particularly. But in talking of the challenges that people have gone through, as we do ramp up into Christmas and everything that it brings and everything that it means, it does offer us an opportunity to refocus, particularly as we look ahead to the next year. What does the Christmas season really look like and mean for you and your family at this time?
Yeah, well, I put We Need Christmas out into the world because, quite honestly, that's how the West family has felt these past 2 years. Like, we're sort of crawling towards December. Like, you know, like, just hard times make your steps heavier, you know, and it's just like, you're kind of exhausted by the end of the year. And then December comes and all of a sudden we're singing songs of joy and peace, and we're reading from Luke chapter 2, and I bring you good news of great joy, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Emmanuel, God with us, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we're all of a sudden, our hearts are being flooded with these powerful reminders that, do you know what? Everything we have lacked during this hard year, there's one source that will provide it. And so it's just crazy when you get to the end of the year, we're exhausted, we're wiped out, we're scared for the future, it's just, what in the world? Can anything worse happen? And then you're afraid to ask that question because it does happen. You know, it just felt like when I'm singing We Need Christmas, I'm really saying, man, this world needs Jesus. And when we get to the month of December, our hearts can be powerfully reminded of all that we will find lying in a manger. And so I think it was just important for me to put out some Christmas music, if for nobody else than for the West family, you know, just to kind of, like you said, that song Make Way, like, just, this is a celebratory time. Thanks to the God who brought us through. Thanks to the light that steps into our darkness. And thanks to God for being Emmanuel, God with us. Like, that's the beauty of, you walk through a hard season, you get to the end of a hard year, you look back and you realize, oh, I didn't walk through that alone. And whatever awaits for me in 2022, I don't have to go through it on my own either. So, you know, I love Christmas music. I love Christmas season. I especially long for it after these past 2 years we've had, you know, just and I soak it up. I soak it up with my family. And just, so I hope whoever's listening to this even just starts to get all the Christmas feelings right now, mm-hmm. going, man, yes, this is what we get to celebrate. The birth of a savior is the reminder that we are not void of hope.
And it's a good opportunity for you to play dress ups by the look of it, because you get to wear your gobble gobble suit. You get to wear your like beautiful tartan kind of suits and the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you were asking me what happened to me during the pandemic or what I did, I mean, the short answer could have been that sometimes I went to crazy town and I wrote, I wrote weird songs about gobble gobble at Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and wrote songs about quarantine life, and just, I got kind of goofy, but you know, I think the world needs to laugh a little bit too. You know, funny story about my Christmas album. I put a tuxedo on for the cover, kind of like Michael Bublé a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And my wife called me and she said, hey, she saw the cover before the record came out. She said, hey, you look really handsome on the cover. And I thought right there, I was like, this album is already a huge success. I don't care if anybody listens to it. I just scored some handsome points with my wife. Mm-hmm. You know, after 18 years, I still want to bring my A game to my marriage.
Right. You know, and looking like Michael Bublé, that helps, of course.
Exactly. Exactly.
You guys have this really special relationship. I mean, of course, all marriages have their ups and downs, but you've walked the ups and downs right from the beginning when she met you early on and is alongside you in hospital through a season where you didn't know if you were going to get to be actually doing the dream and the vision that you had for your life. Tell us a little bit about that kind of time, because I imagine even now going through these last couple of years, there's that tension of, is the thing that I love going to be able to come back again as well?
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. I was talking to like another, a celebrity who's not yet married. And we were talking about like the challenge of like, does she like me for me? You know what I mean? And, there was never a doubt in my mind that Emily liked me for me, because when she met me, it was like, you know, I couldn't get a record deal. I didn't have any hit songs. And like you said, I had suffered a severe injury to my arm that at one point threatened my ability to play guitar or, you know, travel on the road. And I wasn't sure if I'd ever be able to play the guitar again, but she stuck with me through that. And I think that's one of the reasons, like, we weathered a big storm together, Laura, right at the beginning of our dating relationship. And, you know, I feel like she saw me at my worst. It doesn't get much worse than laying in a hospital bed. You know what I mean? Nobody really looks. I was a far cry from Michael Bublé laying in that hospital bed. But, you know, we went through that and I could see that she was going to stand by me. And I was so thankful that God put her in my path. And so 18 years later, you know, I don't think there's just never been a doubt in my mind that, you know, even after that, I had vocal cord surgery and once again thought I might lose my career. And now in 2021 and 22 or 2020 and 2021, you're off the road and you're concerned about all the things. But I never once had to worry about, you know, my wife, you know, saying, oh, you're a loser. Now, she might still call me a loser, but that might be if I forget to take the trash out or something like that. But
right.
But yeah, she's a truest friend, you know, and we're both in each other's corner. And boy, you know, in a profession like mine, where so much of what I do or my value can so quickly get placed on, you know, how good of a job I do or what kind of performance I put forward. You know, it kind of comes back to that safe place when you said that earlier, just like, you know, knowing that there's somebody in your life who loves you, whether your song goes to number one or whether it's a huge failure, you know, whether your shows get canceled or so, you know, I'm thankful to have her in my life, because I know that on my best day, she loves me, and on my worst day, she loves me. And, you know, thankfully, we can all say that we have at least one in our corner like that. And of course, I'm talking about, you know, the God who made us. You know, there's a song I wrote for this Christian group called Cain. And it's called I'm So Blessed. But the song says, on my best day, I'm a child of God. And on my worst day, I'm a child of God. Mm. And just that idea that, you know, man, isn't it good to know that in a world that's constantly changing, there's one thing that remains the same.
Mm. It's so true. And as we do wrap it up, Matthew, I mean, there's a lot of people who listen to you in conversations like this, and of course in your music, as someone to inspire them, as someone they can draw wisdom from. What advice would you give to people who are looking to your marriage and wondering, how does that work? Who are looking to the way your life has flourished from a career sense and think, how does that work? What kind of advice would you give them?
Oh, man, I would come back to the message of first things first. You know, that's been on my heart the last few days. And I started writing a devotional series about it for the start of the new year, just because, not because I've perfected it, but because I'm in desperate need of a daily reminder of, don't get ahead of God. Like, you know, it's not about us chasing after our own dreams. It's about us chasing to the feet of God and running to him and saying, here's my idea, God, what do you think? You know what I mean? Like, I want what you want for my life. I want to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then know that all these things shall be added unto me. Matthew 6:33. I want to know that I want to be reminded every day that God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I want to remind myself every single day that he knows the plans he has for me, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm me, plans to give me a hope and a future. And I want to remind myself every single day that it's not on my own strength that I'm going to be able to weather what comes my way today. I want to remind myself I can do all things today through Christ who gives me strength. We have to be constantly flooding our minds and our hearts, not with Netflix, not with news, not with Instagram, not with all these, I mean, all that other stuff, all well and good, but it's got to come after first things first, reminding our minds and hearts who God is, who God says we are, and what God has to say about how he can help us make it through our day. And you know, all the other stuff will take care of itself. You know, there's another scripture. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Mm. You know, if God's going to give us that kind of encouragement, doesn't that mean that he's in control? And he's calling us to look to him every single day. And so I would just encourage anybody out there, you know, whatever battle it is you're facing, when it feels like it's bigger than you, that's a perfect reminder that it's not bigger than the God who's holding on to you and the God who longs to spend time with you. He loves you. Get this, he likes you. He wants to spend time with you today. Take care of first things first, and all the rest will be added onto you.
Mm. Matthew, thank you so much for your encouragement today. Thank you for your new album. We Need Christmas. We're loving it. And I hope you have a great day.
Oh, it's been great to talk to you, and I wish you and your listeners all the best. And my prayer is that this Christmas time, you know, what a great time to go back to first things first and read Luke chapter 2. And this conversation just reminded me, when I'm done with this interview, I'm going to go take care of first things first myself. So I hope this has been an encouragement to somebody, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.